my God, half of the year is gone, but the opportunities for creative and business growth are still abundant. Whether you're entering the summer season or embracing the winter chill, join me as I reveal my 3 steps to planning for a productive creative season. Tune in and make the most of the time ahead. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Open Studio. I'm your host, Martina Flor, and in this show, I share strategies and tactics that you can use to build a career as a lettering artist or illustrator. And this episode is going out on the 5th of July, and it's incredible because half a year is past, right? And in this episode, I want to help you plan for the next half of the year, for the next semester. So in the beginning of the year, I recorded an episode about planning for a kick-ass year. And this is something I do every year. First, I sit down to review what I did last year. What is it that we accomplished with my team? What is it? What are the things that work? What are the things that didn't work, right? And in that one episode that I shared in the very beginning of the year, I shared some strategies that I used to plan ahead for what's coming next year, right? Now, this is something that we in the business, we do every quarter. We, you know, at the end of the quarter, we sit down to see what were the goals that were accomplished, what were the goals that were not accomplished, and what were the things that worked, the things that didn't work. And we use that information to inform the goals for the next quarter, right? Now, I want to help you. I want to invite you to do this, this exercise at least twice a year. So in the beginning of the year and right now in the middle of the year, because whatever that you set up to do in the beginning of the year, I think it's important, you know, the year has 12 months and I think it's important to stop 6 months after the beginning of the year, so now in July, and sit down to see what is it that you accomplished, what are the challenges that you're facing, how is the year going, right? How is your income going if you run a freelance business? How things are going for you? How close are you to accomplish the goals that you set up to accomplish in 2023, which is the year we are right now, but this applies to any year. So I think that doing this at least twice a year is a kind of a must. And we in the business, we do it every quarter because we work in quarters. We set up goals for the next 3 months. And every 3 months we sit down to see what we accomplished, what are the things that we want to do next. So today I want to help you plan for the summer, for a productive, creative summer. Now, the goals that you have for this year, or the personal goals that you have and the creative goals that you have or the business goals that you have may be different for you than they are for me, than they are for any other person. So you may have set yourself up to create more work or build your portfolio this summer, right? Or you may have the goal of acquiring more clients for your business, or you may have the goal of revamping your website, right? Whatever it is that you set up to do, all the things that I'm gonna share with you today, you can apply them to your own goals, right? And depending also on the place in the earth in which you are located, this is gonna apply to your summer or to your winter, right? So right now I'm in Europe, in Berlin, and we are coming into the summer, which for us is a pretty, and also for my business in general, is a pretty calm part of the year. It's where things come down, people are, or many people are on holidays or they are taking a break. So it's a good moment to just use that time or that extra space to create things and to do things that perhaps throughout the year when things are a little bit busier, you don't have time for, or you don't feel you have enough energy for. So I love this part of the year because it's not only sunny and nice and people are outside and happier than usual, especially in this side of the world where, you know, there's a high, like a big contrast between winter and summer. Whereas, you know, in summer people are more outgoing and outside, as opposed to the winter where the people are more at home and more, you know, introvert in a way. So, depending on where you are in the world, this will apply to winter and summer, and you know the seasons of the location in which you are and how to use those seasons. So, why is it important to plan ahead? And this is something I try to share always with my students and the members of my coaching programs, because I feel that especially us as creatives, we are not very much used to plan ahead. And I remember that as I started working as a lettering artist, as I started my own business, which is basically at the same time I started working as a lettering artist, as a full-time lettering artist, I remember that I was always aware of how important it is to write down your goals, right? Whatever is it that you want to accomplish, I will always write it down. But what I used to do before is that I would sit down in the beginning of the year and I would just write down all of the things that I wanted to accomplish, right? And what I saw happening in my life is that every year I had new goals, or I had more things that I wanted to accomplish that were piling up on top of the things that I set up to accomplish in the year before. So suddenly I had like a full plate of goals that I had no plan on how to accomplish them. I just wrote them down as a mean of like having like a to-do list of goals, but there was no plan whatsoever on what were the steps that I would take to accomplish them, right? And also something that I noticed throughout the years is that, you know, as I grew older and more confident in my business, in my skills, and as I had more experience in what I was doing, my goals were changing. So many of the goals that I set up to do years before were no longer goals of mine, right? But since they were in this to-do list of goals, the never-ending to-do list of goals, they were just there and they were just making noise. And they were, you know, at the end, they just made me feel overwhelmed and kind of like they made me feel that I had too much on my plate. And if anything, in order to accomplish your goals, you need to feel that they are doable. They will, you know, normally or oftentimes, goals will always push you a little bit out of your comfort zone, but you know, you want to feel that you can do it, right? And if you have too many goals, then you feel that you're spreading yourself thin between a lot of goals that you don't no longer know whether they are important for you or not. So I think it's very important when you set goals to first look at what you have accomplished last year, what are the things that have worked, what are the things that haven't worked, right? So that you can use that information to inform what you're doing next, inform what your goals will be next, right? Because if you did something last year that didn't work, and you executed a few things that are really successful, why not using those or doing more of those next year? And why not doing more less of those that didn't work next year, right? So I always say, do more of what works, because that will not only bring you more satisfaction, but also it will also bring more income if you are a freelancer or you're working professionally in your craft, with your craft. So do more of what works. And in order to do that, you need to first look at the things that work and the things that didn't work. So let's dive right into the system that I use to plan ahead for a certain period of time. So you can use this to plan ahead for a year, and you can use this to plan ahead for your summer or the next semester or the next half of the year, right? The thing number one is that you need to reflect. You need to look back at the things that you accomplished during the first semester. And with this, I want you to focus on two aspects. One of them is the things that brought you joy. What are the things that you enjoy from this first semester? What are the things that you did that made you happy, that you felt accomplished, that you felt were successful just for the mere fact of bringing you joy, right? Hey, 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 welcome to the fascinating world of hand lettering, where letters transform into captivating stories. My latest PDF, Lettering DNA, is your guide to discovering the secrets of the alphabet and empowering you to create stunning words and phrases that amaze others. Crack the code of letter forms inside this easy-to-understand PDF. Download it for free on martinaflor.com/letteringdna. Embark on this journey and transform words into unique stories. With Lettering DNA, you will gain a fresh perspective on letter forms that will forever change the way you see them. Again, go to martinaflor.com/letteringdna to download it for free. Now, back to the show. And the other thing I want you to focus on is those that brought you results of some kind. And when I mean results, I mean measurable results, right? If you have several income streams to your business, to your freelance business, for instance, you can measure what are the things that work. For instance, if you have an online shop, besides your client work, besides some online classes that you may have somewhere in some platform, I want you to measure all of them. And not only measure how much they brought into your business and to your practice in terms of income, but also to measure how much time you have invested in those, because the ROI, or the return of investment of a certain thing that you do, call that an income stream or call that a client assignment, the ROI is not only the amount of money that you have received through that income stream, it's not only measured through the amount of money that you have received through that income stream, but also the amount of time investment that it involved, right? So it's important to measure these two things when it comes to analyzing the income that you have brought into your business, right? One of them is, how much time am I investing into this, and how much return am I having from that time investment, right? So I want you to write all of these things down. There are a few questions that I use to get my ideas flowing. One of them, for instance, is, what were my favorite experiences? These are more emotional questions. I was just speaking about the very strict side of business, which has to do with, you know, analyzing time investment in relation to income. But you can also ask yourself, you know, what were my favorite experiences? What were some of my favorite client assignments to do, right? What felt easy? Was there any client assignment, any project that I started that felt really easy to me? And write that down. What if it's hard? What were the things that you were like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to sit down to work on this. So write that down. And I know that, you know, if you are running a business professionally, if you're working professionally as a lettering artist, as a creative, there are things in your day that you won't like, right? There are things that, you know, they're work, right? Of course, we love doing what we do and you love creating your work, but, you know, there will be client assignments that you don't enjoy that much. And there will be, you know, things that that have to do with running a business that you don't enjoy doing that much, right? And they are important anyhow, and they need to be done and executed, right? But I think it's important always to realize, what are the things that you enjoy? What is your genius zone? And then use that information to inform your next steps. Perhaps if there's something that feels really hard for you, or that feels that is taking too much of your energy, and you can delegate that, or you can hire someone to do that for you, then perhaps that is gonna be your next steps. That is gonna be one of your goals next year, right? So I don't want to get into the specifics of each one of these questions, but just for you to get an idea of why it is important to reflect about the things that happened in the past semester or in the past period of time, because they will give you a lot of information in terms of what is it that you can set out yourself to accomplish next. So again, what were my favorite experiences? What felt easy? What felt hard? What did you love creating and working on, right? The same if when it comes to starting an income stream, for instance, or creating a client assignments. What were the things that you really enjoyed? What do you never want to do again? So if you had an experience that was really negative and that really you didn't enjoy at all, then write it down, because you know, as humans, we stumble upon the same problem over and over. And I think it's important to realize the things that are not good for us. And some of these things have to do with, you know, experiences that we didn't enjoy. And identifying the experiences that are not good for us is very important. And again, which I've been talking about this early on, what brought in the most revenue to the business? And you always want to see this in relation to the time invested. And I know, and perhaps I'm gonna dedicate another episode to this one thing specifically, and I know you may be wondering right now, well, I don't know exactly how much time I'm spending in each one of the things in my business. And I want to tell you, you should know exactly what how much time you're investing in your business, in every little aspect of your business. And for this, you can use tools to track your time. As I said, I don't want to go deeper into these things, but for sure, if you're not tracking your time, if you have no idea how much time you have invested in a client assignment, in starting an income stream, in doing the administrative work of your business, then you should definitely start thinking about putting things into place to track time, right? I am speaking right now, or most of the time, I'm speaking about specifically about the business side of things. But if you are just starting with your craft, if you're exploring a new creative endeavor, these things apply for you too, right? Mastering a craft or learning a craft has a lot to do with, you know, starting a business and growing a business, right? There's a lot to be learned. There's a lot to be organized. There is resources to be administrated, right? And this applies to running a business as well as starting a creative endeavor or learning a craft, right? You have this energy and essentially you have your energy and time that needs to be allocated strategically so that you can get results, right? And this applies to learning a craft as well as starting a business. So bottom line for the step number one, reflect about what you have accomplished last semester, right? I always say when teaching lettering to my community of students, I always repeat this concept, that is, the solutions for your drawing are in your drawing. And this very much applies to creating a business, to mastering a craft. Oftentimes, the information is there. You just need to stop for a second, look at what you have done, and see what are, you know, pick up on that information to inform your next steps. And that happens when you're creating a lettering piece, when you're creating an illustration, or when you are building a creative business, right? Now, the step number two, Identify the big players. And when I speak about the big players, I want you to apply a rule that I have mentioned oftentimes here in the podcast, which is I have trouble saying this word out loud. So Pareto principle. The Pareto principle is essentially the 80-20 principle, we can call it, which is easier. So the 80-20 principle states that 80% of the results come from 20% of the causes or actions, right? So that means that applies to anything you do. And really, like, try it out because it really applies to everything you do. It applies to business, it applies to mastering a skill. So it says that for anything you're doing, you will want to identify that 20% of actions that are bringing 80% of the results, that 20% of actions that are pushing you forward, right? And you want to eliminate or clean all that 80% that is not bringing you results, right? Because that 80% is taking time, energy, and it's costing you, right? It's costing you money. So if you apply this principle or the identifying the big players in the step number two means that you want, after you reviewed all what you have done in the last semester, you want to identify what are the things that are bringing you the most results, right? What are the things that are working for you? What are the things that are bringing you the most revenue? What are the things that are bringing you the most joy, right? Because we need both. In our business, we need both in order to continue ahead with whatever we are set out to do, right? So identify the big players, right? After you reflect about what you have done, look at all the information and mark the things that really work. Mark the things that are working because for sure there are things that are bringing you more results than the rest. Number three, simplify, and this is essential. Eliminating complexity is very important because, as I said before, complexity is taking or draining your energy, is taking up time, right? And it's not making you money or is not bringing you results, right? Because if you have too much complexity, your focus is diversified in a lot of different things, and therefore your productivity is hindered and your results are hindered, right? So again, reflect. Number two, identify the big players. So identify the 20% of the work that is bringing you 80% of the results. And number three, get rid of that 80%. Simplify. Get rid of that 80% that is just making you noise, absorbing your energy, and not bringing you results, right? Now, three easy steps, right? And all of this, you need to write it down. All of this will take you some time, right? It's not something that you do while you listen to this podcast episode, although this can get you started with that. But it's something that takes a little bit of time. You will take 2 hours at least to do this. For instance, when I do the yearly planning and the quarter planning, I take at least a day to do the planning of the quarter. Because first I have a meeting with my team, we review what we have done the previous quarter. We look at the things, you know, we reflect, we look at the 20% that brought the 80% of results, and then we decide what are the things that we are gonna focus on next. So that already in itself takes between 2, 3 hours, just the fact of reflecting about what we have done. And then comes the work of setting up the goals for the next quarter. In this case, you're gonna set up the goals for the next semester. So I want you to follow these steps and write down the things. First, reflect. Step number one, reflect. Step number two, what is the 20% that brought me 80% of the results? And third, simplify. So decide what you want to get rid of and set out the goals for the next semester in relation to that. Use that information to set up your goals for the next semester. Now, this is just part of the work, right? Setting up goals is just part of the work. You need to also plan what is it or how is it that you're going to accomplish those goals, because having a to-do list doesn't mean that you're actually going to do it. You need to also have a plan. You also need to allocate the time, which is the most important part, allocating the time to accomplish those goals. Because having them written will not make you accomplish those goals. You also need to have, you know, the time and the steps that you're going to follow to actually accomplish those goals. And I'm going to touch on that in the next episodes. I'm going to help you allocate time so that you can accomplish your goals. But for now, I want to leave you with these three steps to help you look at the half of the year that is already behind us and plan ahead for the next semester, because we still have time to accomplish our goals for 2023. Right? We still have plenty of time. And if you use this system, you will have much more clarity in terms of what is it that works for you, what is that you want to accomplish, and how you're gonna get there in the next 6 months. So thank you so much for listening, and see you on the next episode of Open Studio. Bye-bye.
So this is it. I hope you loved this episode. You can find me, the host of the show, on social networks at Martina Flor on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you have a question or comments, go to martinaflor.com/podcast, where you can see previous episodes, find show notes, and send voice memos with your comments and questions. You can also watch these episodes on YouTube. Just go to martinaflor.com/YouTube to find them. You can, of course, listen to all our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you loved this episode, subscribe to this podcast. And if you leave us a review, it will help others find us. Thank you all for listening, and see you in the next episode of Martina Flor's Open Studio. Bye-bye.